This is a Bible Answers program in which we present a frank and earnest discussion of Bible truths. Our subject for this program, Unquenchable Fire. There may be a Bible Answers study group near you. If you would like to know, write to the Bible Answers, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. To us, asking that you explain the text found in Mark chapter 9, verses 43 through 48. Jesus said to his disciples, and I will read, "If thy hand offend thee, cut it off, for it is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched." Did Jesus mean by this that there are circumstances under which Christians should actually cut off a hand or pluck out an eye? But first, this program is brought to our listeners by the Dawn Bible Students Association, publishers of the Dawn magazine, in cooperation with local Bible study groups and by the friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. And now, Frank, will you please explain this text to our listener?
First, Russell, let me ask you a question. Do you think that Jesus really meant that we should literally pluck out our eyes in the event they give us trouble?
Well, of course, you know, I'm supposed to be the one that asks questions, but your question is easy, so I'll answer it. Oh, I don't suppose he meant that literally. In fact, I can't imagine either that Jesus would want one to cut off his right hand or right foot. What do you think?
Well, of course not. Jesus is speaking in highly pictorial language. And to be consistent in our interpretation of what he says, we must concede that his statements relative to fire is also pictorial or symbolic. When we take this view of it, the entire passage is reasonable and understandable.
Then what did Jesus mean by plucking out eyes and cutting off hands in order to obtain everlasting life?
Well, in Oriental thought, the eye is the symbol of desire and envy. Cut your hand, in the symbolic language of the East, meant to discontinue a bad habit. These various expressions sound harsh to us today, but at the time Jesus employed them, they were in common use, and their meaning was well understood. In this text, Jesus is not addressing the whole family of man, but merely those who profess to be his followers, those who have dedicated themselves to him. God has provided a future day, the thousand-year day of Christ's kingdom, during which the entire world will be enlightened with divine truth. It will be then that the whole family of man will be tested as to worthiness of everlasting life.
You make a difference between believers and unbelievers in their hope for everlasting life.
Yes, but Christians who know the truth of salvation are now on probation. It is these that Jesus is urging not to permit anything, no matter how precious, to stand in the way of their loyalty.
That's a pretty severe test, isn't it?
Yes, but the reward is correspondingly great. God's promise to all who sacrifice everything in the divine service is that they will live and reign with Christ in his kingdom. Then will come the enlightenment of the whole family of man, giving all the opportunity to accept the divine provision for everlasting life through Christ.
Is that when the text applies that whosoever believeth on him might not perish, but have everlasting life?
That's right. But in order to believe on Christ, it is necessary to know him. So in God's plan, an entire 1,000 years is set aside for the enlightenment of man, in order that the whole family of man may have an opportunity to believe and live.
But Frank, what about the worms that don't die, even when they are cast into unquenchable fire? Doesn't that language sound as though we actually have immortal souls that fire can't destroy?
Russell, don't read into Jesus' words that which he did not say. Where, for example, does the Bible say that human souls are like worms, or for that matter, that they are immortal?
You're asking me questions. Isn't that it? But Frank, if the worms mentioned by Jesus are not immortal souls, what are they?
Well, let me remind you that the Bible says nothing whatsoever about immortal souls of any kind. The expression immortal souls is not found in the Bible at all. It simply isn't there.
What then are the worms which do not die?
We let the Bible answer that question. Turn to the 66th chapter of Isaiah and read the 24th verse. I think that will throw some light on the subject.
Fine. When we get the answer from the Bible, then we know it's true. And I have it, and I'll read. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh.
Russell, the only thought I get out of this language is that of dead carcasses exposed to the elements and being eaten by maggots. That is undoubtedly what the prophet is talking about, and it is probably to this prophecy that Jesus alludes in the passage we are discussing.
I'll agree the language is similar, but Jesus certainly speaks about hellfire, and that's something that I'm sure our listener would like explained, too.
Well, there's no literal fire in the biblical hell. The word hell in this passage is a translation of the Greek word Gehenna. In the Hebrew language, it is Valley of Hinnom, located just outside the walls of the ancient city of Jerusalem. The refuse of the city of Jerusalem was thrown into this valley to be destroyed, and for that reason, fires were kept continuously burning in Gehenna. These fires were never quenched.
And that is all that Jesus meant by unquenchable fire?
Yes, the Master, of course, is using it merely as a symbol of the utter destruction that awaits all willful sinners. Hence, Jesus' reference to being cast into Gehenna would, to the people of his day, mean a destruction from which there would be no hope of a resurrection.
But remember, Frank, Jesus said, "Their worm dieth not."
Well, as we have already seen, this is a reference to the worms that prey upon dead carcasses when exposed to the elements. When we take into consideration the size and depth of the ancient Valley of Hinnom, it is apparent that frequently bodies thrown into it to be destroyed would not actually reach the fires at the bottom of the valley. In such cases, while the fire would not destroy the carcasses, the ever-present worms would. Thus we see that Jesus intensified the symbol of destruction. He is saying in pictorial language that there's no chance for one who has been enlightened and then becomes a willful sinner to escape the wages of sin, which is death.
I see. And that is what is represented by unquenchable fire.
Yes, the Greek word used in the text means not extinguished. This symbolic fire is not extinguished, but nevertheless goes out of its own accord when there's nothing left to burn.
Frank, I want to thank you for your rather wonderful answer to our listener's letter.
Well, everything in the Bible, Russell, is wonderful, and we should be anxious to learn everything we can about its teachings. The people are being urged these days to return to God, which is good, but they can do this only by finding him in his word and learning to know him as the God of love. All that, of course, is clearly brought out in the book, The Truth About Hell. Russell, will you tell our listeners how to get a free copy of this grand little book?
I will with pleasure, Frank. Friends, this book, The Truth About Hell, containing vital information on this important subject, will be sent to you free. All you have to do is to ask for it. It has been said that truth is stranger than fiction. And it is also, in this case, a whole lot more interesting, too. This little book examines every text in the Bible in which the word hell appears. Yes, every text. It also deals with the parable of the rich man and Lazarus and the obscure sayings of the book of Revelation, which are related to the hell question. So, when you have finished reading, you will know that you have considered everything that the Bible says on this very interesting and important topic. So, send now for The Truth About Hell. The address is Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. May I repeat the address for your convenience? It is Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. Ask for The Truth About Hell, and it will be mailed to you free and without any obligation.
Send for your free booklet today. Mail your request to Frank and Ernest, Post Office Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. To repeat, mail your request to Frank and Ernest, P.O. Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. Or call this toll-free number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That's 1-800-234-DAWN. The booklet will be sent to you free and without obligation. This program is brought to you each week by the Dawn Bible Students Association in cooperation with local Bible study groups and by the many friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. To repeat, call toll-free the following number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That is 1-800-234-DAWN to receive without obligation the free booklet offered. Please include the call letters of this station with your request. Ask your friends to listen to our program, won't you please? And now, goodbye, and may God bless you.